One of the commonest underlying reasons for cardiac arrest is heart failure, also called congestive heart failure. And we're talking about huge numbers of people. According to the Heart Foundation, there are 220,000 Australians living with heart failure, and each year 30,000 people are diagnosed with it for the first time. What we're talking about is your heart muscle failing to pump blood as well as it needs to. US research, aided by Melbourne-based scientists, is suggesting that it may be possible to fix the genes in heart muscle to get it going again. Dr. Jill Kalman is director of the Cardiomyopathy Program and associate professor of medicine at Mount Sinai Medical Center in New York.
Congestive heart failure is very common, and what they experience is shortness of breath, fatigue, changes in the ability to do activities of daily living, swelling in their legs, palpitations and dizziness.
And the causes?
There are many causes of congestive heart failure, and once the...
And it's called congestive because your lungs get congested and your body gets congested with fluid.
That's right. I mean, the entity really is cardiomyopathy, meaning that there is a insult to the heart muscle, and once symptoms develop, it's the syndrome of congestive heart failure. There are many causes. A most common cause in this country is coronary disease or ischemic cardiomyopathy, where patients have heart attacks or have advanced coronary disease leading to damage of the heart muscle and weakness of the heart muscle. But there's other causes like toxins, alcohol, other drugs, viral-induced, inherited entities, valvular heart disease, dilated cardiomyopathy.
And it's a nasty condition to have.
In its advanced phases, it's a nasty condition to have. Patients also can live with this with a relatively well-compensated lifestyle in its earlier phases, where they have these symptoms when they have more extreme activity. When it gets advanced, they have these symptoms on mild and minimal activity.
So heart failure is really heart muscle failure, which goes by the name cardiomyopathy. The treatment is fluid and salt restriction, exercise, and medications called beta blockers, which take the load off the heart. But that gets people with heart failure only so far, and as I said earlier, they're at increased risk of life-threatening heart rhythms when the failure becomes severe and the heart becomes enlarged, dilated. That's why the idea of gene therapy to fix up the broken heart muscle is an interesting idea. But with so many causes, it seems surprising that they could pinpoint a single gene to target for replacement. Roger Hajar is Professor of Medicine and Director of the Cardiovascular Research Centre at Mount Sinai.
What we're talking about is the common variety of heart failure, ischemic heart disease, dilated cardiomyopathies, where at the end stage, the heart cell has a number of molecules in them that are abnormal. And they become abnormal because the genetic information is either upregulated or downregulated.
So this is basically heart muscle in crisis and it's doing anything to salvage itself.
Pretty much, that's right on. And this calcium abnormality within the cardiac cell is caused by this abnormal expression of this protein, and that's one of the causative genetic defects.
So this is the response of heart muscle cells that are reaching the end of the road. And when you hear the word calcium, you probably think of the hard stuff in your bones. But bones are not what Professor Hajar is talking about.
Inside the cell, there's a small amount of calcium that moves around that's critical for the cardiac cell to contract and pump blood. So the contraction and relaxation of cardiac cells is really dependent on the movement of these calcium ions.
So why don't you just give them a drug to fix up the calcium? There are drugs that affect calcium that you regularly give for heart disease.
The problem is that for heart failure, the drugs that try to increase intracellular calcium actually make things worse. The discovery of this specific defect, we took the strategy of gene therapy, which was really just to replace this protein with a new one, and that's not abnormal.
They use a virus to carry in the replacement gene and have tested it in the lab, in animals, and now in humans. Roger Hajar again.
For a number of years, we worked on cells isolated from patients with heart failure at the time of cardiac transplant. So when the heart that was explanted was taken out, we took the cells and then brought in the gene using these viral vectors, and cells that were barely moving started really moving again. In addition, we started moving into small animals and then larger animals to show that models of heart failure in these small and large animals were able to be rescued by delivery of this gene using these safe vectors.
Joe Kalman, tell me about the human experiments.
I think heart failure is a wonderful model for this because an advanced heart failure, there's really an unmet need for therapies beyond our basic pharmacologic therapy, which was just extremely successful in some device therapy. But once patients are on these maximal medical therapies with devices, the next step with advanced heart failure is truly mechanical supporter transplant, which is limited. So to find a therapeutic for these patients was really groundbreaking.
So tell me about the people, how bad did they have to be? What was their situation?
The criteria for admission to the trial was class 3 and class 4. Class 3 meaning shortness of breath or symptomatic with minimal activity, and class 4 shortness of breath at rest. There was also a requirement for an ejection fraction to be less than 35%, which in most categories is considered severe.
This is when you do an ultrasound of the heart and you look how much blood it pushes out at every pump.
Exactly. How weak is the heart? 35% and below is in the severe range, and those are the type of patients we were looking at. So advanced symptomatically and advanced structurally.
So what happens? They just get an injection in their arm? What's the treatment?
The gene is actually delivered through a cardiac catheterization, meaning...
So it goes straight into the heart?
Well, it goes right to the arteries of the heart. And there's one dose delivery injected down one of the coronary arteries, which is really extremely fascinating that one dose is then taken up by the cells with a prolonged and profound effect.
So how much difference did it make?
There were 39 patients that were in a small trial. Patients walked more. The echo parameters improve with decreased size of the heart and improvement in ejection fraction, and then clinical endpoints of hospitalization in the highest dose.
And just to explain, phase one tends to be for safety, phase two trials tend to be to see what the right dose is, and phase three is the definitive large trial to see whether it does work in a large population.
That's correct.
So that's next.
That looks like it's next.
And how long did the effects last?
Well, we have 12-month information now on these patients, and there's a sustained effect.
Side effects?
There were really no or few safety concerns in our patients we looked at.
And Roger, no escape of the virus, so we didn't get the influenza-like symptoms or anything like that?
No, so these viruses are replication deficient, meaning that they can't cause any virulent activity in the body.
Whether you live in the United States or Australia, healthcare costs are a key issue here. Is this going to be an affordable treatment if it gets to phase three and in phase three trials it works?
I think so. The costs of treatment and care for patients who are in advanced heart failure, multiple hospitalization, device therapy, even ventricular assist devices for certain populations, transplantation, all these treatments are extremely expensive. Obviating these types of treatments would really have a huge effect on healthcare costs.
What proportion of people who got the active treatment improved?
In the high dose, about 100% got improvement, whereas in the placebo dose, 65% were getting much worse within 1 year.
And some of the basic animal research on this was done in Melbourne at the Baker IDI Research Institute. Roger Hajar and Jill Kalman are cardiovascular researchers at Mount Sinai Medical Center in New York. I'm Norman Swan, and this has been the Health Report. You can hear the Health Report three times each week, 8:30 Monday mornings, 12:30 Tuesday mornings, and 11:30 Eastern Summer Time on Saturday mornings on ABC News Radio. It's a shorter program, but it's the program nonetheless. And if you want to hear the whole program intact, you can always go to Radio National's website, abc.net.au/rn/healthreport. abc.net.au/rn/healthreport. You can audio stream us, you can download a podcast, you can automate the download of podcasts, and you can read transcripts going back many years indeed. But don't go there just yet, because there's still some great listening here on Radio National.